you'll see that all of these chapters go together, really starting with 13, but 14, 15, 16, 17, and they're intimately bound up. They make up the final discourse of our Lord Jesus when he was on the earth. So these are the last teaching chapters. It was after the supper, after he had washed their feet, given them an example, and then in chapter 14 he begins to talk about heaven because he's going home. And Jesus wants to impress upon his disciples something so important that he saved it to the last of his ministry. It's something that he'd been living and teaching all the way through, but now something new was going to happen in the age of the church after his death, after he was gone. And he wanted to impress upon him, you know, when someone says something right at the end, you don't forget those words. These were the dying man's final discourses. Now, he had a few words to say on the cross, but no more teachings. So this is really the final teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples before his death and resurrection. Afterward, he talked about the kingdom a lot for 40 days before he'd go on home permanently, and we wouldn't see him anymore in a physical way. But these particular teachings are so powerful that we want to understand them because they're simple. They're a simple parable. It's a vine and a branch. Everybody knows that a branch, if you chop a branch off a tree, like right now, you go around, everybody's pruning, still doing a lot of pruning. If you chop that branch off and leave it on the ground, then it will not bear fruit a month or two from now, or whenever the harvest is. But if you chop off that branch now, the vine itself has lots of life in it, and it'll produce a whole bunch of new branches. And so you'll have more branch. You chop off one branch now, and you get a whole bunch of new branches. So we all understand this story, but it has a spiritual truth that's obvious, but I want you to meditate on it because this is the secret to the Christian walk, is inner peace, outer fruit. Inner peace, outer fruit. And I want to take some time tonight to share that most Christians still don't have inner peace. And if you don't have inner peace, I don't mean positionally, I'm talking about experientially. I'm talking about how you feel, talking about what you think, talking about whether your mind is clear or it's confused, talking about whether your emotions are happy or they're disappointed or sad or disgusted or anything else. I'm talking whether you have that joy of the Lord all the time. If you don't have the joy of the Lord on the inside, you cannot bear fruit on the outside. Even though you be a Christian, even though you be a Christian, even though you're born again, even though you know the Lord, even though he's in you, if you don't abide in him, fellowship with him, know him, and ask of him, you can't bear fruit. Now, you can do a lot of works. Many are going to say on the last day, Lord, Lord, we did this, and we did that, and we did this, and we did that. And he's going to say, depart from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. I didn't know you. I didn't know you. Just because you're born again does not guarantee that you're going to bear much fruit, fruit that abides. God wants us to bear fruit. He appointed us to bear fruit, didn't he? Now, the first thing to find out is, well, what's fruit? What would you say is fruit? What would you say is fruit? Let's see if we can get some ideas. Here. What is the kind of fruit? Oh, my. Can't see that. We need a new board. Is it the chalk or the board? We need new chalk. We need some soft chalk. Okay. That's probably the same piece. Yeah. Okay. What are some fruits?
Patience.
All right. Patience. What else? Oh. Okay, you're going to go in that direction. All right. He's talking about works. Those are not works. That's inner character. I was going to show you how you were wrong later, but I'll just tell you now. That is fruit. That is fruit. But that's not the kind of fruit he's talking about here. That's the inner character that we have to produce the outer fruit. That's inner fruit that produces outer fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, you know, faithfulness, and self-control. But what is it that is produced on the outside when we talk about a vine, oh, I wish I had good chalk here. I can't show this. Oh, this is the real chalk. Oh, my. Praise God. Okay. And here's the branch, and it's going to bear fruit. Here's some fruit right here. Some grapes. We'll put some grapes on there. Now, what are the fruits that we're going to bear? When God says bear fruit, what's he talking about? I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. All right. One of the fruits, I'm going to just forget these here. This is inner. So one of the fruits out here is conversions. Okay? Where did you get that? What scripture do you have for that? How do you know that? Okay. Do you know a scripture for this? Anyone know a scripture for this? Mark 16? Mark 16 will do. All right. Mark 16, Matthew 28. All right. All right. What else? What other kind of fruit? Is that the only kind of fruit? Conversions? What other good works are there? All right. Clothing. Let's just call it meeting the needs. Works of love. Okay. Okay, let's call that one love of the brethren. Love of the brethren. So this is love of the world.
I like it better with it all.
But there's a what?
I like it better with it all.
When it's an office?
Widows and orphans.
Widows and orphans. Oh. Oh, I see. Okay, cisterns. All right. Okay. What else? What other? What's another form of fruit? Now we have the world, we have the church. What else? What's another fruit? There's only one big group left. The world, the church.
Discipleship.
No, that's the church. Okay, love of the brethren, building up the brothers and sisters. What's another kind of fruit we need to bear? That's for the world and for the brethren, but that's another kind of fruit. Sure.
Worship.
Who said that? Oh, that's it. Okay, we can sum it all up by saying, worship to God, love to the brethren, and really love to the world, which basically is salvation. Even though it includes signs and wonders and feeding and many other things, it's basically salvation. That's the greatest work that we can do. So worship to God. Worship to God. That's a fruit. True worship. And love of the brethren and conversion of sinners or bearing testimony. That's one of the fruits. In other words, the Great Commission says, go ye therefore into all the world making disciples. That includes these two right here. That is, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and teaching them that are baptized in the name of the Father, that come into the faith, teaching them to observe or to do all that I've commanded you. So those are works. And of course, there's many other works that all fit into these categories of what we do to the Lord, what we do to the brethren, what we do to the world. Okay. Now, if that's true, if we have those relationships, those duties toward God, the church, and the world, and you can include yourself, you know, as part of that, but if we have those duties, where is the power to do that work? Does it lie within us? Of course, we know it doesn't. So the power for that, called dynamite in the Bible, dunamis, the power for that. Yeah, good. Oh, probably not. I think it's the chalk. It's just not soft chalk. Okay, the power has to come from the vine. Here's the vine, and here's the branch out here. There's the branch. This is a branch office out here. And it's going to bear fruit out here. So here's the fruit. Now, all the power has to come from this direction. We have no power. Now let's look then at chapter 15. I am the true vine. Who is the I am? All right. This is not God the Father. This is Jesus. Jesus says, Jesus, I am the true vine. Now, where is the vine located? Where is the vine located? Where is it planted? I'm not hearing. All right, it's in our heart, okay? But that's not true. That is also true. But where else is it located? Is it in the earth or is it in heaven? Okay, this vine happens to be located in heaven. Ah. That's important to find the location. Even though it's also in the heart, that's true. But for our purposes, we'll be simple here. The vine is located in heaven. Now this is going to be a funny vine. Because this vine stretches all the way then from heaven all the way to earth and bears fruit. Okay? I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. So He's the one that cuts off all unfruitful branches that only have leaves but bear no fruit. He doesn't want those kind, so He cuts them off. And it says that if you're not fruitful as a Christian, if you're not fruitful, He's going to cut you off and then lay you down in a pile here with branches, and later those branches will be burned with fire. So we have the simple picture of the husbandman will do this later. That's God the Father cuts off branches that are not fruitful, gathers them up, saves them up, puts them in a pile. Later on, He'll burn them. Now, of course, is a picture of hell. That's a picture of our eternal damnation if we are not born again, if we are not bearing fruit. Now, can a non-born-again person bear fruit? Can a pagan bear fruit? No. Okay. It looks like they do, because we see that good works are done by pagans as well as Christians. But actually, no. The Bible doesn't call that fruit, because fruit always is in the vine. It says, in fact, in John 15:6, apart from Me, you can do nothing. In other words, if you're not in Him, no matter what the world calls good, God does not call it good. It's good in a sense, of course. The work itself, maybe helping someone or something like this. But God only will count to your account that which is good, which is born of God, because God is good. Now, even if a pagan is doing something good, and even it's God who, you know, inspired him, if he's not actually born again and abiding in that vine, then it doesn't go to his account as good. Now, there are many pagans that have done goodly things. But the Bible doesn't really call that lasting fruit. It calls it temporary fruit. It calls it just fruit that doesn't abide. It's fruit, but it doesn't abide. But God says, if we read all this chapter, that you would bear fruit, that your fruit would abide, and that you would have much fruit. Now that could only happen if you're born again. So we know that pagans then do bear fruit. But it's not the kind of fruit that abides. It cannot abide. Their works will not abide. So all good works are not necessarily good works in the sense that we understand Scripture to mean lasting fruit or fruit that abides for you. Because the thing that's different, you know, a Buddhist could bring out this podium too. That'd make it a good work because I needed the podium. So the motivation would be different, but he did the same work. Nonetheless, his is not lasting fruit. Whatever his motivation is, I don't know. But I know that my God will not grant him eternal life because of that, because it's not lasting. And you cannot psychologize and figure out what his motive is, but God can. And God says that anything apart from faith is sin. Anything apart from faith is sin. Anything that has, if he brought this out and said, I see that Christian minister needs help, and he's a Buddhist, he brought it out and he brought it right to me and says, here. And the Christian might have brought it out and said, here, you know. See? The Christian didn't do a good work either. But the Buddhist, even though he thought, here, and he did it so nicely, he had confidence in his goodness. That's an abomination in the eyes of God. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. Now, we don't judge the same way as God does, do we? No. God is God. And God said that he won't accept self-righteousness. Because you see, he actually looks at the heart. And he knows that man did not obey his son. That man did not obey his son. He came and did his own thing. He said, oh, I know what a good work is. This is a good work. But it's not the approved work of God. God says you must be born again. Hello. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. So, the way you know that you're a good Christian is you can feel the purging going on. Hello? If you're just having a wonderful life with no troubles, you can assure yourself you are not in God's program. But if you're having troubles and you're feeling the purging, oh, that's good. That's a good sign. Do you feel purging going on? Do you feel your mind being renewed constantly? Do you find you're coming up against things that you don't understand or things that challenge you, things that oppose you? You see, you only grow by being opposed. I'll say that again. You only grow by being opposed. I'll say that again. You only grow by being opposed. And God's word always comes to oppose us and call us to repentance. Because we are not able of ourselves to keep the word. But only God can do it. So, God's word always comes to oppose us. That is, I think I can do it, but I can't do it. My motives won't be right. The deed won't be right. One way or another, I need his help. Not only do I need his help, I don't need just his assistance. I need him to be doing the whole thing. Everything that I do, I need God to do the whole thing. I need him to think for me, to feel for me, to act for me, to everything for me. If I cannot worship without God. It's kind of like God's worshiping God. I cannot love the brethren without God. It's Jesus in me that loves you. I of myself don't love you. Have you noticed that? You of yourself don't love me. I've noticed that. But Christ in you loves me. I've noticed that. And Christ in me loves you. I trust you've seen that. It takes faith. It takes faith. We don't go by sight, we go by faith. We don't measure how many times, we just go by faith. We excuse the sin, we pass it off, that is, we forgive it. We don't actually lower the standard, we keep the standard high. The standard is you must be perfect. You must be perfect. You must love the brethren. But when you fail to do so, I forgive you. I expect you to love me perfectly. But when you fail to do so, I forgive you. I got my forgiver button on a lot. Okay? You ought to have yours on a lot. I need for you to forgive me a lot. I got a log in my eye. I need a lot of forgiveness. Jesus says, you got a log in your eye. Whatever you see in my eye, that's a speck. That's a speck. Whatever I see in your eye, that's a speck. That means if I see a little speck in your eye, I can be sure I got a log by comparison. Every time I see a sin in your life, I can be certain I have a log by comparison. Now, that makes me not want to look too closely then. Because if I start picking on you, where will it end? Where will it end? If you're sin conscious, you'll find plenty of material. If you're going to look for sin, you're going to find plenty of material. So we keep the law high, and we quickly forgive and forget the sins. Someone says something, they even say it to hurt me. I forgive it and forget it. You can't hurt me. Sticks and stones will, well, it's not for that reason. But you can't hurt me. Now, you got to be tough to do this. Oh, you don't have to be tough. All you have to do is have faith. Just have faith. Jesus says he loves me. Jesus is bigger than you all. He loves me. My Jesus loves me. I don't care what you think. Jesus loves me. You see, you don't have to be tough. You just have to be weak. Actually, only the weak make it. The strong never make it. In this battle, only the weak make it. Hello? The joy of the Lord is my strength. His power is made perfect in my weakness. Only the weak make it. You have to be a weakling. Hello? You have to have a lot of sin. Hello? Really, you have to be a failure, really, to make it in this thing. Because it's not the branch, it's the vine. It's the vine. Now, I want to show you something back in the 14th chapter. Turn in your Bible. We're going to look at verse 10. This is just before the vine and the branch parable. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, that's Jesus talking, and the Father in me, I'm in the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Did Jesus do any works? He did, but he said it's the Father doing it. He said, even though it looks like it's me, and it is me, it's actually not me. It looks like it's me, and it really is me, but it's really not me. It's the Father. The Father is the worker. I'm the vessel. Jesus said, I'm the vessel. Jesus said, I'm the vessel. The Father is actually the substance. God is love. So if Jesus had any love, where did it come from? Heaven. It came from heaven. Came from above. Came from the Father. The Father is the author. The Father is the one that starts everything. He is the middle of everything. He is the end of everything. The Father is the Alpha and the Omega. Now, it just so happens that the Father lives in the Son. They abide together. They're intimately bound up. Therefore, everything Jesus said, the Father was saying. Everything Jesus did, the Father was didding. Everything that Jesus was, when you say, show us the Father, Jesus said, oh, no, no. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You can't say, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Well, if you've seen me, you'd be satisfied. I am the Father. I'm not really the Father, but he dwells in me. And you've seen his fruit out here. You can't see the Father, but you can see the fruit of the Father. Because I am the express image of God. You want to know what God's like? You cannot find out. You have to look at me. He's chosen to show himself in me. Some Buddhist is going to try to find God apart from Jesus. So he sneaks around behind Jesus and he finds God the Father. But he doesn't find God the Father. You know he finds? The devil. He can't find God except through Jesus. So then some Confucianist creeps around. He says, I'm going to find God the Father. I've figured out that God is just. Has he actually found out about God? No. He actually does know something about God. But the very thing he knows condemns him. By his own knowledge, he condemns himself because he knows that he doesn't know. Even if he knows he's just, then he ought to know that he's unjust. And he doesn't know what God thinks of unjust because if he did, he'd be desperate. Every time we'd meet a Confucianist, he'd be desperate. In fact, he would be just falling apart. But that's not what we find. We find that Confucianists and Buddhists and atheists and agnostics and materialists and so on are just going along quite well. You know? Doing their religious thing. Because they don't know God. You can't know God except in the face of Jesus. God will not be known, cannot be known, will not be known, cannot be known, will not be known, cannot be known, except in Jesus. It's the only place he has chosen to make himself known. Even the angels cannot know God except through Jesus. That's where God has chosen to dwell. So you cannot say, there's Jesus, I wonder where the Father is. No, wherever you found Jesus, that was the temple of God. You see, the temple was built so that you could go and meet God. Say, is this the temple? Yes, it is. Is God home? Yes, he is. Come on in. Of course, a person could not go into the temple. You had to hire a priest back in the Old Testament. And then the priest would stand between you and God. And he'd say, what do you want? I need something. What do you want? I need a little help. That'll be $5, please. Gives him the $5. Now go kill yourself a calf. Well, I can't do it. Well, we got another priest. You pay him $10. He'll kill a calf for you. And then when he gets that done, he says, okay, now, God, okay, here it is. And so the priest is a mediator between God and man. But Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. There's no mediator. Jesus is the only mediator, isn't he? You don't have to pay him $5. You don't have to pay him $10. Saved $15 right there. Yeah, it's good. Now you can give it all to the neighbor. God doesn't want your money. Hello? The church, the neighbor, but God doesn't need it. God has a different kind of currency. He's all right. His bank is solid. Okay. God prints his own. All right. So everything comes from God. In Jesus' life, he said, the Father's in me, and I'm in him, and we're in you. And the sign is, you'll bear fruit. Worship, love, testimony. Worship, love, testimony. Worship, love, testimony. What if a Christian doesn't do that? You're not abiding. You're not abiding. He'll cut that branch off. He'll cut that branch off. That's what he said. I'll cut that branch off. Now, I want you to see something here. Believe me that I'm in the Father, verse 11 of the 14th chapter, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sakes. All right? Don't believe me then. Believe the works. Could I produce those works? No, that's the Father. You know, when they killed Jesus, and he said to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he couldn't produce that. Every human being on the face of the earth knew that no human being could produce that. You can't forgive your enemies. Nobody who has just been beaten and dragged and all the things that happened to Jesus, abandoned and so on, would be up there and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The guy's crazy. He's got to be an idiot. And they knew he wasn't an idiot. What was he saying? No human being could do that. And they even said, we know that the Father was with you because no one can do the works you do except the Father be with him. They knew it. Even Nicodemus admitted that. We know you're come from God. We can see the signs you do. We can see the works. We know by the works that you're Christians. How are Christians known? By their fruits. By their works. By their works. By their works. You're only known by your works. You're not known by your faith. So I'm a Christian because I have faith. Well, it may be. But we only know if you have works. Faith active in works, in love. Unless you're active in love, we don't know that you're a Christian. You may be a Christian. We don't know it. Hello? Are you busy working? Now, we're going to get to the secret in a minute. But you can't have any works unless you ask. So from our point of view here as a branch, we have to ask for everything. We have to ask. We have to ask. So as soon as we get into trouble and we're not bearing any fruit, all we have to do is ask forgiveness and ask for power. And then he'll give you the ability to bear that fruit. Right? You have to ask. So apparently, we get into trouble a lot because we're having to ask a lot. As a matter of fact, it says over here, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. You want to bear fruit? You're born again. You want to bear fruit? I have to ask for it. It is not automatic. In your life, you cannot just bear fruit. You cannot just go around kind of glowing and assume that you'll just bear fruit automatically. Have you noticed that Christians don't automatically bear fruit? Why? They're not asking. They're not asking. Are you asking day in and day out? See, most of us only ask when we're desperate. The problem with that is you don't realize you're desperate all the time. And that's why it says in the book of Revelation, I counsel you. You say that you're rich. You say that you can see. You say that you're well-dressed. But I counsel you to buy gold refined by fire. You're not rich. I'll give you riches. You can't see. I'll give you salve. You're not clothed well. I will provide clothing for you. So, you see, you were really desperate all the time, aren't we? Now, you cannot have any self-confidence. So God has put us in a world where it's hard to bear fruit. For example, let's say I have the fruit of love, whatever the particular action is, but I find that my brother Gary is hard to love. He's having tough love. It's hard. I like Al a lot better. It's easier, see? But God wants me to love Gary.
I love you too.
I know it. Okay, so Gary, he's hard to love. Al's a little easier. But what? I need fruit all the time. I need fruit for that. And what does God say? Avoid Gary? Go for Al? No. You see? I can't do that. I've got to bear fruit. So I'm going to have to ask, oh God, give me help. Give me some help here. Give me some help. Okay? So Jesus in me loves. That's a miracle. Jesus in me is happy all the time. That's a miracle. Jesus in me can worship God. That's a miracle. Jesus in me loves the brethren, the cisterns. That's a miracle. Hello? Jesus in you loves me. Okay. So God is constantly purging us and removing these dead branches. Have you felt any dead branches going in your life? You know, tonight, have you felt any just dropping to the floor? You know, we got to have a big bonfire. That's all the flesh in your life. We want constantly to purge you of the flesh that's in your life. So every time you can know it's going to go if you're asking. If you're in trouble, then you're in good shape. As long as you remember that He's the vine and you're just the branch. Now, the branch has no power. The branch has no love. The branch has no joy. The branch has nothing. The branch is just a branch. The branch is just a branch. But as the branch was intended to bear fruit, it will only do so insofar as we are abiding in Him. As we are abiding in Him, as we are abiding in Him, that's where everything comes from. So the glance is not to bear fruit. The glance is back here in abiding. So the secret is never looking to see what kind of fruit you have, but always looking back here to abiding. Now, what's going to be the result of that? If I'm abiding, there'll be joy, there'll be peace in the inside. That will produce fruit on the outside. Now, Jesus said, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. The result? Joy. The result? Peace. The inner peace. So all of the energy, all the sap, if you're already taken care of on the inside, all of the energy, all of the authority, all the power, all the sap can go out to bear fruit. But if you're not abiding well, let's say there's a break in the branch right here. Let's say there's a break in the branch. Then the sap comes up to that point and stops. And that branch may eventually fall off, but a new branch will form right here wherever the energy is or power. Many of us then have breaks in our branch, and the energy comes and we use it all up on the inside because we don't have happiness. We got breaks. And all our energy is used up and we get sick on the outside. Or we frantically work on the outside because we have no peace on the inside. No peace produces two things, either paralysis or anxious toil. I'll say that again. If you don't have peace on the inside, if you're not experiencing joy right now, if you're not full of joy right now, you've got two possibilities. Either paralysis, which means you won't bear much fruit at all, or anxious toil, which means you're legalistically doing a lot, but it's amounting to nothing. You're doing a lot. You're out there even painting the grapes, you know. Because you're getting your whole identity not in abiding, but you're getting it out here in bearing fruit. I'm a Christian. Look, I'm a Christian. Look, I'm a Christian. Look what all the good things I did. Does everybody see what good things I did? Can you see how nice I am? You see? And many people do things in order to be seen. Many people do things in order to be appreciated. Do you like to come down to the church when no one's here, clean up everything and go home without a note? Or even a little note? We haven't had too many do it. Some do it. But really, you see, our works are not to be seen by men. I mean, we don't do them in order to be seen by men. The reason, why do we work? We work because we've got energy. We work because we're in love. We work because we want to. That's energy. So if the energy, you're going to have energy either going out here or back in here. Now, if you're in love, if you've got joy, all the energy can go to fruit. But if you're anxious on the inside, all your energy is being eaten up on the inside, and you're going to get a headache. You're going to get sick. You're going to begin to wear down. You're going to be tired. You're going to be cross. You're going to be unforgiving. You're going to find it difficult to love. You need energy. See, in the Bible, energos is the word for work. Energos is the word for work. That's the same word as our energy. So to bear good works, that's good energos. So you will be energos, and you will have dunamis, which is dynamite. You'll have dunamis in you, which is power. You'll have power or dynamite in you if you have a lot of a nice relationship with Jesus. You have a nice relationship with Jesus. You don't need to work to be happy. Now, some people work in order to be happy. When I'm working, I feel good. When I'm down at the church doing something, I feel good. That's anxious toil. I don't feel good if I'm not doing good. What if you fail? Do you still feel good? Amen. That's a victory. What if I fail? Do I feel good? That's a victory. What if I don't love my sister Ona? Do I still feel good? Can I feel good? Can I feel good if I don't? Hello?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Can I feel good if I don't do right? What's the basis of my feeling good? My fruit or my relationship with Jesus? What He's done for me? Is it the vine or is it the branch? What is it when I don't feel good toward Ona? What is that? Is that the vine's problem or the branch? Well, what's a branch? What's a branch? I can't do either good or bad. I'm a branch. If I'll remember that, I'll get all my joy from stop trying to bear fruit of myself. I'm just a branch. Someone lied to me and said, I don't like Ona. That was a lie. I like her. Because I'm a branch. And the sap that's going through me is love. The love of God has been spread abroad in my heart through the Holy Ghost. Can you just feel that love surging from heaven down into me, out into Ona? Right? Can you see it? Everybody see it? It's there. If you had faith. Watch it. I'll show it to you. Did you see it? You have to have faith now. You got to have faith. You probably judged me. Thought I did wrong. Well, the action was wrong. The action was wrong. But don't. The only thing you know by that is I forgot that I was a branch. I started to think I was a vine. I don't have any power to hate or to love. Hello? The devil has power to hate. You see? But I'm not in the devil. I'm a Christian. I'm not in the devil. But he gets me mixed up sometimes, and I think I'm still in the devil. Because it appears like I am. It feels like I am. It seems like I am. You know? But I'm not. I'm just a branch. I'm a branch. If I remember that I'm a branch, then I'll remember all the power comes from heaven. None of the power comes from me. I'm not a source. I'm only a channel. I'm never a source. I'm only a channel. And no one else is a source. They're only a channel. You're not a source of goodness. You're not a source of evil. You're a channel. My enemy is not you. My enemy is Satan. He might use you as a channel when you forget. But God will use you as a channel to bless me. Even if you're listening to Satan, God can still use you as a channel to bless me. He's a pretty good God, isn't he? Now, the devil can't do it that way, but God can. God can actually use evil and bring good out of it. Remember Joseph in the pit? Remember Joseph in the prison? Remember Joseph in the throne room? How did Joseph get from the pit and the prison to the throne room? The devil intended to kill that guy. But you know what? He couldn't die. It's impossible. Even if he'd had 50 people stick spears in him, they wouldn't have died. Why? God had already spoken. Has God already said anything about you? Has God said anything about you? Yeah, he has. He said something about you. He says, you always win. He always leads you in triumph. Has he said that about you? Is that true? Yeah. You're just a branch. He's the vine. So only good can come to you. All things work together for the good. Therefore, there's no situation in life that ever is hopeless. There's no situation in life that ever can depress me. There is no situation in life that ever can depress me. Let's say that. There is no situation in life that can ever depress me. Now, I know sometimes you're under a lie, and so you feel depressed. Because you add up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, make a conclusion, and get depressed. You're wrong. You should have gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then said, I don't know anything. What do you say, God? 7, everything's going my way, and then you don't get depressed. God always knows one more fact than you do. You'll never know all the facts. I don't care how smart you are. You can look at a situation, analyze it, ask everybody's opinion, but you'll never know all the facts. God knows all the facts and says it always works out good. That's all the facts. Woo! I like that. Now that's knowing facts. And he got to know something we don't know. He knows something we don't know. Here it is. He's the vine. We're the branch. He's the vine. We're the branch. He's the power. He's the life. He's the joy. He's my peace. I don't have peace. He is my peace. I don't have joy. He is my joy. I don't have joy. I don't possess peace. The reason I bear fruit, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. It's Jesus. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. I just do it by faith. If he said I'm a branch that bears fruit, I'm a branch that bears fruit. He said it. That's the way it is. So the more I think about it, the more I get happy. The more I get happy, the more energy I have. The more energy I have, the more I become fruitful. Inner peace, outer fruit. The more peace you are on the inside, and there's only one way to find out if you have peace. When you fail, what do? Now, when you succeed, that doesn't tell me anything. When you're successful, that doesn't tell me anything. But when you're failing, that tells me everything. If you can rejoice when you're failing, you got the victory. If you can rejoice when you're failing, you got the victory. Anybody can rejoice when things go their way. Anybody can rejoice when the sun shines, but Jesus said in the world you have trouble. Now, who can rejoice in a world when you see there's trouble? Only a Christian. Only a Christian will rejoice in the world full of trouble, or an idiot. And they're not really rejoicing, it's just they're an idiot. Some idiot would go around saying, everything's okay. They don't know anything. That's Pollyanna, little kids or dreamers or drug addicts or something like this. But anyone who's sober, anyone who's alive, cannot rejoice. You can't do it. When things are going against you, when the world is in the chaos it's in, when you have family problems, when you have personal problems, when you're sick, when you have cancer, whatever it is, you cannot rejoice. Only God. Only God. You have to do it in faith. You can't do it by sight. So you say, well, how are you feeling? Wonderful. You really feel that way? No. But my God said, everything's all right. Therefore, that's what I say. Well, aren't you lying? No, I'd be lying if I said otherwise. I believe that God is the vine and I am the branch. Do you understand that? No, I don't understand it. But I believe it. And believing is bigger, is greater. And you know, what you believe, you will get. Now, you have to really believe it. It's not psyching. That's not a psych job. That's really believing that I'm in victory all the time. I tell you, I've thought about that a lot. Victory all the time. Victory all the time. Ooh, just thinking about it makes me happy. And then when I'm happy, I got all kinds of energy. And pretty soon, all kinds of things are going my way. Then things start going not my way. Especially when you get happy. You ever notice when you get happy, boom, something happens to you? Have you ever noticed that? Some people are afraid to get happy because they know that if they get happy, then something awful will happen to them. Have you know that? You know, they try to stay kind of even. It's kind of like a, what do they call it? Superstition. If I don't get happy, then the devil won't get me. But if I get happy, I know something awful will happen to me. That's a lie. Get happy. Because of what Jesus has done for you. So he is the vine, I'm the branch. Now, if I've got all my energy, I don't need any energy here because he's got all the energy. See, it's coming to me. I don't need any energy for my happiness. Oh, then I can just open up and I can give it all away. Everything he gives me, I can give it away. Everything he gives me, I can give it away. I give away all the sap. I don't have to keep any sap for myself back here. Because there's more coming and there's more coming and there's more coming and there's more coming. The more I give it away, so I can give away money. I can give away money. Did you know I can give away money? I can give away love. I can give away everything. I can give it all away to my neighbor. Ha! If I'm rich. Now, if I'm stingy, I won't. I'll say, here's a penny for you, here's 99 cents for me. Because I'm stingy, and I don't know if I'll have enough to go around. But then, that's how big my God is. He's a dollar God. He's a $1 God. So I got at least 99 for myself in case I ever have to give a penny away. I might get sick. I might need it for a rainy day. Got to keep a few cents for myself. Can't give it all away. But you see, if I have a rich God, he might have $2. I might be able to give away my dollar, and I'll get more dollars. And there's only one way to find out. Start doling it out. See what happens. Now, if he doesn't replace your bank, you're in trouble. But if you learn, and he gave you a law. This is the Old Testament tithing. That's an Old Testament law. He said, if you just try 10%, he said, I know you're not going to give away, you know, the whole thing. So just try 10%. Try 10%, okay? 10%, I'll be 10 cents. Okay, give that away and see if I won't open up the heavens. Huh. I don't know. I'll try 9 cents. No, it won't work. Try it. How many here have tried that? How many here have tried? It does it. See, about, you know, maybe a half a dozen only. I tell you, that's a law of God. And you'll have to get in trouble, then you'll ask. Help. 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 Has anyone here practiced tithing and then God lied? Has anyone caught him yet? Go on, you can tell on him. Did God lie to anybody here? You see, if you do it, there's only one kind of testimony. It works. I can stand up and say it works. Great joy has come into my life. Not because I gave the 10%, but because God loves me. Not because demons are subject to me, but because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Where's my joy? My joy is in the relationship, not in fruit bearing. But if I have joy in the relationship, I will be fruitful. If I don't have joy in my relationship, all my energy, all the energy that comes to me will be immediately used up like the Dead Sea. It'll go nowhere. Are you going to be like the Dead Sea, or are you going to be like the Sea of Galilee? The Sea of Galilee receiveth and giveth. It receiveth and giveth. It receiveth and giveth. It's constantly giving out. And you know what? The Sea of Galilee is pure. There's fish in it, but there's no fish in the Dead Sea. There's no life. There's no fruit. There are minerals, but there's no fruit there. There's potential wealth. Hello? It's bitter. It's a salt sea. It's bitter. So what are you? Are you sweet or bitter? Are you fresh water to people, or are you bitter and brackish? Are you constantly building people up? You see, if you try, you'll fail. But if you're excited about Jesus, then even if you fail, you're still excited. It'll pour through. It'll come out. It'll come out. It'll come out. So what's the secret? Now watch this. All of this could be called one thing. I want to reduce everything to one thing. True worship, think about this. Love of the brethren and saving the lost. Those three things are one thing. If you could characterize it as one thing, what would it be? Building the house of God. Building the temple of God. Now, 2 weeks ago, I showed you that God is what? Restoring what? The temple or the tabernacle of David? Okay. The tabernacle of David is not the temple. Here's the tabernacle of David up here. It's on Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is where? It's in heaven. I proved this to you. I can't go through all of it again. But Mount Zion is definitely not the Mount Zion on the earth. In the Bible, when it talks about Mount Zion, it is not talking about physical Mount Zion when it refers to the restoration of the tabernacle of David. It's not talking about going back to Israel and finding out where that was and then getting a tent from one of the tent makers and then setting up a holy ark in there, getting the priesthood going again and so on. The tabernacle of David is, according to the New Testament as well as the Old Testament, you can read Amos 9:11 there. Amos 9:11 tells about restoring that thing. That's up there. That's called in Isaiah 28, verse 16, the cornerstone. Now, where is this building being started? Is it started on the earth? No. That cornerstone was made down here when Jesus died on the cross. It was tested and precious, a proven cornerstone, taken to heaven, set at the right hand of God. Where do you set a cornerstone? You have to set it on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It's in heaven at the right hand of God. That's where the cornerstone is. So we are being built into that living stones, into that temple. 1 Peter 2:5, we are living stones being built into that temple. Well, there's the foundation of the temple. It's the same as the vine and the branch. The vine and the branch is the same image as the stones and the cornerstone. It's the same thing. So all of this work is nothing more than building the house of God. And it's not Solomon's temple. Temple has many words in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. But naos refers to the sanctuary or dwelling place, the Holy of Holies. You remember there's no court. In Solomon's temple, there's an outer court, then there's an inner building, then there's a Holy of Holies. But with David, he didn't have all that elaborate stuff. He just had the ark and a tent. You see? And in heaven, there's not going to be any court or any building because God himself is the temple. And where does he dwell? In us. So we dwell in him. He dwells in us. We are the city. We are the temple. You see? So there's fruit that comes forth when you look this way. You don't have to look both ways. You don't have to look at fruit and Jesus. You have one view. Look at Jesus. One view. Look at Jesus. Now, most of you are looking more at your fruit. Did you become discouraged today? You're looking at fruit. Were you rejoicing all day? You didn't look at fruit. You did not look at fruit. If anybody here was happy all day, you didn't look at fruit. You didn't look in the mirror. You didn't talk to your husband or your wife. You didn't meet with any people. You know, if you were happy all day long, you weren't around anyone, you know, and you didn't think. You were doped up, you know. It's impossible unless you know God. You see, because it takes faith. Because all day long, we are not only bearing fruit, but we're also failing. So to keep happy, there's no way I can look at fruit and keep happy all the time. And that's a command. That's enough to depress me right there. Being happy all the time is depressing. I will say that again. To be happy all the time is depressing. The most depressing word that God ever spoke was, "Rejoice in the Lord always." That's depressing. Imagine never being able to be miserable. How depressing. Do you see what I'm saying? Man, I can't do that. Be happy all the time? That's impossible. That's awful. I like to be miserable sometimes, don't you? Isn't it fun to be critical of people sometimes? Oh, you pious ones. No, I don't want to be. Yes, you do. You enjoy it. It's fun to get people every once in a while. You just, you know, if you're real. If you stick around us long enough, you'll get to dislike us. Hello? You have to have faith to live in the church. You have to have your eyes always on Jesus. If you put your eyes on the brethren, you can't make it. If you put your eyes on yourself, you can't make it. If you put your eyes on life, you can't make it. In the world, you have trouble. With the brethren, you must forgive, or you will not be forgiven. You can't make it if you're looking by sight. You've got to look by faith. By faith, we're built on Mount Zion. I'm in heaven. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places, Ephesians 2:6. I'm one of those lively stones being built on the cornerstone, 1 Peter 2:5. You see? I'm built into that precious Mount Zion stone, that cornerstone, Isaiah 28:16. Oh, praise God. That's the tabernacle of David that's been restored. So that restoration is the church, and that is the fruit. The fruit is the temple being built. Here's the secret to it, is my abiding in Him, right there. And that gives me energy. If you're abiding in Him, you're full of energy. Now that means, from now on, when we worship, don't be held back. Give true worship, that is worship in spirit and truth. You can't just worship like this. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. You gotta worship with all you got. Hello?
That's right.
Now if you look, you're gonna fail. I mean, don't look around. Were you looking around today? Did you notice who wasn't doing it? I did. Ah! The only way I can do that is not to worship. Now, if I'm worshiping, I can't pay attention, right? I'm just worshiping God, being caught up in God. But if I look over to see. I noticed Paul wasn't raising his hands the whole time, you know? He wasn't really entering into it. I gave him a C. No. So, worship, love of the brethren. Love of the brethren. You can't do it. But you must do it. So God's got to do it. I can't do anything, but I can do all things through Him. If I'm happy inside, I'll be fruitful outside. If I'm working inside, I'll be fruitless outside. Work, fruitless. Rest, fruit. What's the secret then? Rest in, fruit out. Work in, restless. Fruitless. Now you want to have all your peace, all your joy in here. It's a gift. Then the fruit you'll bear will be a gift. Gift, 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 gift. Everything's gift. Example means following God. But I'm not good at following the example, are you? I fail sometimes. So I want to keep my eyes on Him. If I keep my eyes on Him, I'll be changed from one degree of glory to another. But I'm just all I am is a vessel. I'm not going to get better as a branch. I'm not going to go from an ugly branch to a pretty branch. I'm still a branch. I'm just a branch. All I'm going to do is remember I'm a branch quicker. That's all. I'm just going to remember I'm a branch quicker. I'm just remembering that I'm a branch quicker. I'm letting God cut off all that stuff. Every time I fail, that's another branch going to be lopped off. He's saying, can I cut it off? Oh, no. You know, go ahead. Let Him cut it off. What's a trial going to do? Cut me all off, God. He that loseth his life, what? Shall find it. Can He take away anything? No. That which is shakable is shakable. That which is cuttable is cuttable. But that which is not shakable is not shakable. That which is not cuttable is not cuttable. And my spirit is not cuttable and shakable. Only my flesh is. I can't lose a thing. Oh, what freedom I have. See what joy I have? What freedom I have. I can never lose. It's impossible. If Neil doesn't like me, I win. If Neil likes me, I win. You see how I never lose? If Leslie Ann gets mad at me, she's done it once or twice. If she gets mad at me, I win. I'm blessed. If she loves me, I'm blessed. You see, it never changes a thing, does it? If she blesses me, I'm blessed. If she curses me, I'm blessed. She can't hurt me. I'm a branch. I'm a branch. He's the vine. He's the vine. You see, you can't do anything to me. You can't give. You can't take away. You're not God. Only God can do. I have one God. How many do you have?
One.
No one can harm me then. I don't have my brother as a God, my father as a God, my mother as a God, my sister as my God, my wife, my husband, my children. No one else is my God. I have one God. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. All the power, all the authority, all the hope, all the joy, all the peace, everything good comes from God. Nothing evil comes from God. No darkness, nothing, only good. Now, is that you? That's you, isn't it? Can you bear fruit for God? Can you worship God with all your heart? By faith. Can you love the brethren and the sisters? By faith? Faith. Can you win the lost? How many of you won the lost? How many of you brought to the Lord today? How many did you do today? Oh, you didn't want to bear any fruit for that today. Okay, how many love the brethren today? How many love the brethren? Good. Okay, bearing some grapes, a few raisins. Okay, how many are worshiping God today? True worship, with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You see, we are meant to bear fruit. But it's so easy because His commandments are not burdensome. If you have anxiety inside, most of you don't know yet the love of God because you've never failed. You've never been ugly. But when you're ugly and you fail, if you can rejoice at that moment, I know you know the love of God. Only if you fail do I know you know the love of God. I can't tell when you succeed. I can only tell when you fail. Then if you are not afraid of losing limbs, if you're not afraid of anything, but if you rejoice because of God's love toward you, I know you'll bear fruit. But most of us are not bearing much fruit because we're not yet comfortable with God. We're not comfortable with ourselves. We don't love ourselves. You can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. Do you love yourself? Do you like yourself? How many like your bodies? How many love your bodies? Isn't it fun to have fat bodies and long ears and silly noses? Look, that's the one God gave you. Don't try to look beautiful. Don't try to follow the world. The world's always trying to look like Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. Who cares? It's fun to be ugly and skinny and long and fat and stupid and everything. That's great because God says you're only a branch. It doesn't matter. What matters is He's the vine. He's the vine. It doesn't matter if you're the elephant man. It doesn't matter if, you know, if it doesn't matter. God matters. You're taking too seriously this world. And that's a sin. Don't. Don't take yourself so seriously. Take Him seriously. This is hard to die to this world. But that's what we're saying. That's why this world, that's why the church is doing so little today, because it's still in the world and of the world, as far as the way it's living. We want to have a new kind of church, a church where people are really real, where they're serious, and that means faith. Hey, it's easy to be a Christian. You just have to die. You just have to have all your joy in Jesus. I tell you, Jesus loves you so much, you can't lose. I'm glad you're ugly and fat, you see, and every other awful thing. You know, and some of you are dense. Hello. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you can laugh at that, you can never be defeated. But if you're always anxious about that, is, oh, why am I so skinny? Oh, why am I so fat? Oh, why do I have a problem with gluttony? Oh, why is this? Oh, why is that? Why wasn't I have blonde hair? Why didn't I do that? You know, why do you worry about your body? Who cares? In other words, you can attend to your bodies in kind of a normal way, but don't be overly concerned about what you look like and so on. You're not perfect. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're not perfect. And those that are seemingly perfect have great problems. You think, well, so-and-so, they must really like their bodies. They don't. Nobody does. Hello? You got problems, I tell you. So it's better not to worry about that. Just be glad you got ears like you got. Be glad that you're, you know, just what you are. I like you the way you are, because I have to look past you to see Jesus. You see? Isn't Jesus perfect? Didn't He give you perfect? And look at them around this room. Aren't these people sweet? Look at them. They're all different, all a little bit different. You know? Everyone is perfect. I don't want you to be different. I don't want to be different. I'm glad I'm ugly, just like me. I like being just like me. It doesn't bother me. It may bother you. It doesn't bother me. I like being me. Oh, God likes me. That's why I have to agree with Him. I wouldn't like me. If God hadn't come along and said, I like you, I wouldn't have thought so myself. I would have hated me. I would have lied. I would have done something else. You know, I would have, you know, that's why we wear clothes and we do all the stuff we do is try to look like something we're not. But God says, I like you. You know, that's made me comfortable. Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable with yourself as you are? Do you have to lose weight to accept yourself? Do you have to get a nice makeup to accept yourself? Do you have to be a He-Man? Do your voice have to be right? You know, do you have to do all those kind of things? No. 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 Say no. I like you the way you are. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. You see? We judge that this person is this way and this person is better. God doesn't judge like that. God contemns the whole lot and says, you're all branches. And if you accept that, He'll fill you. He'll fill you with His divine life. He's beautiful. I'm going to tell you something about God. He's pretty. God's beautiful. God is strong. God is wonderful. There's nothing ugly about God. You want to be pretty? Let God be in you. Let Him out of you. You know, just enjoy the fact that you're just like you are. Do you think God made a mistake? No. He didn't, did He? Aren't you feeling better about yourself already? You're just perfect. Because it's just enough for Jesus. However you are, it's enough for Jesus. Whatever stage you're at, it's just enough for Jesus. You see? Oh, that's good. Now, I'm going to accept you the way you are. I'm not going to look at what you look like. I see what you look like. I see what you act like, and so on. I see all the fruit of your life. I'm not going to judge you that way. I'm going to choose to go by faith. Faith says, you're the prettiest people. You're the wonderfulest people. Oh, that's faith. Yeah, faith. You're just branches. You're vessels. You're lively stones. I tell you, by faith I can see you're already so glorious in heaven. Can you see it? You see that? Now you have to die. You can't do this if you're still alive. If you're looking out here, you're alive. If you're looking in here, you're dead. You have to die to this world, be alive to God. Dead to this world, alive to God. Dead to sin, alive to God. Dead to sin, alive to God. I'm dead. Let's keep dying. Let's keep saying it. See, one thing I do, I say it. I like to say it a lot. You know, my children, when they go through the magazines, they're not here. Oh, yes, they are. No, they aren't. They when they're little kids, they go through the magazine like Sears or something like that. She's ugly. She's pretty. She's ugly. She's pretty. She's ugly. That shows how kids think. That shows how kids think. You know? But let's be adults in the Bible sense of the word. Many adults are the same way. But let's be adults. And you know, what they were doing was they were testing themselves out. You know, they were forming themselves. That's worldly, you see. Because in God's eyes, He doesn't look at Sears that way. You know, He doesn't look at it that way. He looks at us and says, ooh, she's pretty. Jesus, do you pick her? Jesus said, that's my girl down there. What do you think? Ooh, she's pretty. Now, if Jesus calls us pretty, we're pretty. If we're the bride of Christ, we're the bride of Christ. The bride is the same as the temple. The temple is the same as the vine. They're all the same. Every image is the same. They're all the same. The bride hath made herself ready. That's the same as the temple being built. That's the same as bearing fruit. That's the same as... They're all the same. It's always the same. So, what's the secret? Peace inside. Then you'll have plenty of energy outside. Accept yourself the way you are. That's going to tell me you have peace. That's how I'll know you have peace. When you're happy when you blow it. When you can get up and say, brothers and sisters, I blew it. But praise God, Jesus forgave me. Hallelujah. But if you just get up and say, brothers and sisters, I blew it. I feel bad. I'm going to try better next week. Oh, it's awful. Then I know you don't have it. You missed it. But if you say, brothers and sisters, it was awful. It was terrible. I blew it. And I was really wretched. But praise God. God loves me. And I tell you, I'm happy because Jesus Christ is my source. He's forgiven me, and now He's in me, and I'm going to get up and do it again. I'm going to go after it again. That's faith. Only faith can do that. And that takes a miracle. I don't know how to teach that. All I know is that's what it is. You can never fail. Let's say it. I can never fail. I can never fail.
I can never fail.
Because
I've already won.
The book's been written. The last chapter's over.
Last
I'm just watching it happen. I'm good in God. God is good in me. We're one. Bone of bone. Flesh of flesh. To see me is to see God. To see God is to see me. You can't see God except in me. You can't see me except in God. That's it. Isn't that beautiful? That's simple, but it's very powerful. There is no such thing as a God out there. Here he is. He's seen here. I know he isn't seen clearly all the time, but the rest of us have faith. That's why we can love the brethren. The world hadn't learned that yet. But if we don't do it ourselves, how are we ever going to teach the world? I love you. I love you. Don't have to check my sincerity level. Just check the Bible. Those are words. But the sign that I love you and the sign that I'm sincere is not how I said it. It's whether I bear fruit. It's whether I have energy. It's whether I worship God and whether I can love the brethren and whether I can win the lost. That's how you know. That's the only way you'll know is through the fruits. Start with your mouth. Mouth is the first place of victory. Mouth is the first place of victory. Start with your mouth. Never say a negative thing. Never say, oh, why am I so, and then put something in there. Just say, oh my, look how yucko I look, but praise God. Always add that. But praise God. That's just enough for God. You know this body? I'm about 44 now. This body is beginning to get aches and pains. I don't go to doctors, so I'll never find out what they are. But I can tell. I can't pick up stuff sometimes and so on. But I'm not body conscious. I just, pick up. I just notice that I have to pick it up with this hand now. I don't even ask myself, now, why is this arm not working so well? Now, what I'm trying to say is, you don't want to be so body conscious. I'll tell you one thing. My body's going to last till the day I die. Hello. What else do I need? As long as it makes it to the end, and it will. That's a guarantee. It'll make it. So I'm not really fussing of what it looks like or how it feels, so on. I want to take good care of it as a good steward, but I'm not overly worried about my body. Now, when I was younger, you wanted to be blah, blah, blah. But, my wife loves me. I don't have to worry about, impressing anybody and so on and so forth. Jesus loves me. You've come to love me. I don't have to sweat it. Isn't that fun? That's nice. We don't have to be anxious. We're a loving family. That's because God's the vine. We're the branch. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, keep saying those words, keep thinking on those words, that you will ask anything in my name and I will do it. I will do it. He didn't say you would do it. He said, I will do it. So God is doing great things in our lives, isn't he? We're going to be able to worship him, to love the brothers and sisters, to be able to win the lost. This place should be packed out, not because of us, just because the harvest is ripe. We have no excuse not to have 300 back here, you see? I mean, I don't care. We don't need it. We're having fun without them. They'd just be more problems as far as the human thing is concerned. But the point is, we must do it for the sake of the gospel. It's fruit. Each of you must go out and get 3 or 4 this week. Do you want to? How many will do it? How many will bring back 3 or 4 next week? Is that too many? All right. We'll bring it down. We'll bring it down to raisin level. We're not into grapes, but we're into raisins. Okay. How many can just bring one next week? Bring one other. Are you gonna? All right. Come on. You haven't done it yet. That old folks' home is just loaded with people over there. They're just. Amen. Praise God. What's the place to start? How do you start? Obviously, you didn't start by volunteering. How do you start? You got to start by asking. You got to say, God, not me. Let's start with worship. Okay. You got to start by asking. You got to start by using your mouth. Say, I will. I may not be next week, but Pastor, I'm going to get to it because I'm a sheep and I'm to reproduce. You see? We got it. Robert and I are getting, we don't have enough to do. Guy was just sitting in his chair today, We just nothing to do. We need some more sheep. We're doing too good a job. We need some more sheep. Hello? You see that? You need to bring these sheep in. so that we can help you to raise those sheep. Did you know you were going to do it? Hello? Yeah. Well, that's why we're training you, so you can train others. We're not going to do this thing where we have to help everybody. We'd get worn out. No, no. We're going to teach you so you can do the rest of the work. We can sit back and eat the grapes. God is good. He is the vine. I tell you, God loves you so much. I wish you knew. I wish you could enjoy more and more how much God loves you. I mean, personally. Most of you are still worried about what you look like, how you act, how you're bearing fruit. Stop it. God will build a temple. I will build my house. They that labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord build the house. So who's going to build it? It's God. He's talking about the tabernacle of David. He's talking about that thing that's up in heaven. You can do it. So I really believe that we're going to be fruitful because I believe we're not going to worry about fruit. I believe we're going to be fruitful because I don't think we're going to care about fruit. I believe we're going to be fruitful because we're going to have one thing. One thing is needful. To fall in love with Jesus. To behold Him. To dwell in His temple all the days of our life. To behold Him. To inquire of the Lord. Not to bear fruit. You can't win your father. You can't win your mother. You can't win your sisters and brothers. You can't win your children. You can't win your neighbors. You can't win those you work with. All you can do is be obedient and put out the fruit. And you'll do it with joy if you got the joy. Otherwise, it'll just be a labor of anxiety. We want labors of love. We want love to be in you. We want joy to be in you. We want peace to be in you. Then all your labors will be fruitful. When you have the joy of the Lord, then He's your strength. He's your strength. You don't need any strength. I want weaklings. We're going to build a church out of weaklings. Hello? We want a church full of weaklings. How many weaklings do we have? You know, oh, that's good. Praise God. We want failures. How many failures do we have? Oh, great. Praise God. Because God is our success. God is our strength. God is our joy. God is our everything. We're going to give all the glory to God. I tell you, if we ever make it, it'll be a miracle, right? God will get the glory. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father God, we thank You for this lovely day. We thank You this is a perfect day because You are a perfect God. We thank You that You have guaranteed everything in our lives. Nothing could possibly ever, ever, ever go against us. It's no way possible. Should the earth shake and the mountains be thrown into the midst of the sea, we will not be moved. You said we shall never be dismayed. And so be it. We will not be. I thank You, Lord God, if God be for us, who can be against us? Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor things present, nor things past, nor anything, high or low or in between, can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can keep us from blessing. Nothing can keep us. You are our sure defense. You are our shield and our exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, there's not one negative scripture. There's not one that drags us down. There's not one that balls us out. There's not one that puts us down. There's not one that brags on us. They all just brag on You. And they all say that when You win, we win. And You won, so we won. Oh, God, we've won already because You've won. And we just need to accept that. We need to receive that. We don't need to work. We don't need to work. We need to rest. If we rest, we'll work. Because it'll be You. But if we work, we'll never rest. Because it'll be us. Oh, Lord God, thank You that You are the vine. We are the branches. You are the vine. We are the branches. I pray that each one here would be a branch tonight, would see they're a branch, would enjoy being a branch, wouldn't worry about what kind of fruit they're bearing, would only look at You, would only look at You, would only receive from You, would only receive the energy, the authority, the power, just the love, the agape. Oh, I just thank You, Lord God, for the agape love that You've given to us that's spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Indeed, we were chosen to bear fruit. We were chosen to bear much fruit. We were chosen to bear fruit that would abide. And because we abide in You, we will bear fruit that will abide. Because we're at peace in You, we will bear the fruit of peace, the fruit of righteousness that comes from joy and from peace and from love, from patience and kindness and goodness. Because You are our life. You are our character. You are our guarantee. We are not consistent. You are. We are not constant. You are. We are not anything. You are. Oh God, we love You, we love You, we love You, we love You, we love You. In the blessed and lovely and holy name of Jesus, and everybody said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.